everyone. This is Martin Zender, and I know you are all dying to know how the weekend meetings went. Well, I got to tell you something about those. I'm not there yet. I've had to pre-record this message. I'm recording this on Friday for you on Monday because I got so much going on Sunday that I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to this show. And you want this show and you need this show, and thus you shall have this show. So I don't know if I'm going to pre-record another one. Probably not. So I'll probably be with you on Tuesday telling you how the weekend went. All right, a friend of mine called me this morning, a friend of mine from Texas, and he said, you know, Martin, I'll never forget something you told me that has really helped me, and I go back to this all the time, and it really helps me get through the tough spots of life. And I always like to hear that. So, you know, I'm expecting this is some great thing, some word of epicness. Well, he said, Martin, you told me that, you know, we're doing good as long as we haven't killed ourselves. I said that. Yeah, you said that, Martin. Okay, I kind of thought I would have hoped, I kind of hoped I had said something, you know, better than that. But then I started thinking about it, and I remembered why I said that. You know, if you're still alive, if you haven't killed yourself, I to tell you the truth, all right, I would never do myself harm, but I've asked God to do me harm. I've wanted out of this life on a few occasions, and but I wouldn't do anything to myself, I don't think, but I would ask God to take care of it. But you know what? He hasn't. I'm still here. You're still here. And that's pretty darn good. I don't understand why 10,000 people don't exit stage left this earth every day. Maybe they do. I don't know. I haven't looked at the stats. I don't want to know the stats. But I remember where I got this. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. I think I shared this with you once, but this is good to know again because it makes for a great saying. You're doing well as long as you haven't killed yourself. That's a great saying. Let it be bandied about that this is a Martin Zender saying, and I hope it comforts you. Congratulations, you're still alive. This is why I say that. 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul's talking about the snatching away, and I am in verse 15. For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we the living, who are surviving to the presence of the Lord, should by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. The thing there is surviving. If you're surviving to the presence of the Lord, people have told me, Mart, I'm barely surviving. But you are, right? Yes, I suppose. All right, good enough. You're surviving. I mean, you know, we hope, maybe, I don't know if I want to say expect. Be nice if you do a little more than survive. I mean, I hope you're taking care of your family. I hope you have meaningful work and so on and so forth. But Jesus Christ is returning for survivors. I looked up that word in the Greek. It's paralepame. It's a two-part Greek word. Peri means about, and epame is lack. About lack. Those who are surviving are experience about lack. Everything about them is lack. There's nothing there. They're lacking. It does speak of being stripped. I think, unless somebody can correct me here, this speaks of not having anything but the breath to hold you upright. We're surviving. You know, war survivors, they don't paint a pretty picture, do they? When you see survivors from a hurricane, they're usually standing about the ruins of their homes. So they have an about lack. They're survivors. And it is these people to whom our Lord is returning. And we know that whether we are watching or drowsing, we will be snatched away together with Jesus Christ. In the circumcision gospel, you have to be waiting. You have to be watching. If you're one of those 10 virgins, you have to have oil in your lamps. But Paul says, whether we're watching or drowsing. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:10, right on the other side of the page there, talking about Jesus Christ who died for our sakes, that whether we may be watching or drowsing, we should be living at the same time together with him. Wherefore, console one another and edify one another according as you are doing also. So I'm consoling you and edifying you that even if you're drowsing, even if you're only surviving, that's good enough. It's good enough. You hold on to the faith. All right, part one. That's part one. Now we're going to go to part two, and that is endurance. This is a huge word for me right now, and I know it's a huge word for you. We're undergoing tons of trials. You know what? People are suffering in their marriages. People are suffering with family issues, your kids, your parents, finances, and health. I think that about covers it, doesn't it? Marriage, finances, family, health. There's a lot of suffering and trials going on. And sometimes you just want to say, stop the ride and let me get off. But don't. You know, even if you're surrounded by ruins, surrounded by the debris of your life, whether you made it that way or not, you know, I don't care right now whether you made your life debris strewn or not. That's not the issue. The issue of who's at fault is not the issue. The issue now is to have confidence and faith in Jesus Christ. You're surrounded by lack. It's your lack too. Inside of you, there's weakness. There is debris in your heart. There's debris in your mind. You've suffered. You've been through so many things with relationships and family, or employment, money. You've blown it. You've made mistakes because there's debris in your heart. And guess what? You're immortal. You're dying. Sometimes you expect too much of yourself. You're dying every day. And so the fact that you're remaining under it, I just preempted myself here, endurance. The word in the Greek is hupomane, and it's a two-part Greek word. Hupo is under, mane is remaining, under remaining. Endurance is merely, but it's an epic thing. It's a great thing. Don't sell it short. Don't underestimate it. Remaining under. To endure, hupomeno, it's under remain. If I ask you to endure, those up in the Northeast are about to endure a snowstorm this weekend. They're going to under remain. They're going to remain under it. Now, it's true. They could hop on a plane and get out of it. But to endure is to remain under it. That's all you have to do is just stay in the zip code where the snowstorm's going to be, or in the part of the country where the snowstorm's going to be, and just stay there. Don't get on a plane and go to Miami Beach. Not that you wouldn't want to, I understand that, but we're talking about someone gives you the command, endure the snowstorm, all right? You don't have to be in your living room doing a ballet. You don't have to paint a masterpiece. You don't have to write the great American novel while the snowstorm is raging outside your window. You don't have to orate about the snowstorm. Oh, thy fair snowstorm, the wonders of thy frilly flakes as they descend from the heavens unto the... No! You don't have to do any of that stuff. It's all just remaining under it. What I'm saying is endurance need not be pretty. It's ragged. I'll never forget reading about D-Day, June 6, 1944. The Allied troops barely got a toehold onto the shores of France to drive Germany back where it belonged, into Germany. And it was ugly. Many of the paratroopers were shot down. Some of the landing craft went down. We know the men on Omaha Beach were sitting ducks. It was horrible. It was ugly. It was a nightmare. But it worked because it didn't have to be pretty. They made it, and they grasped by a fingernail those beaches. Good enough. It was the start, you know. So give yourself a break, whether you're watching or drowsing. Now, I'm going to exhort you to watch. I'm not going to exhort you to be asleep. I'm not going to exhort you to screw up. I'm not going to exhort you to just sit in a chair and just hang on till Christ comes. I want you to occupy. I want you to love one another. I want you to bear one another's burdens. But if you just can't hack it because of what you're going through in these trials that you're having, then it's a great thing to endure. Just stay here. That's why that advice that I gave my friend in Texas is actually great advice. It wasn't great advice. I'm just encouraging him. You're doing good as long as you haven't killed yourself. Congratulations. It's a miracle that people don't kill themselves in this world. It's a horrifying world. And if you don't realize how horrifying it is, perhaps you just don't understand the situation. Now, I know we have Christ in our life, and I thank God for that. We couldn't do it without it. People without Christ do kill themselves. And sometimes even those with Christ kill themselves. This is not the unpardonable sin. I've heard that's the worst thing you could do is kill yourself. The unpardonable sin. No, it's not. The so-called unpardonable sin, that's a whole other topic back there in the four Gospels, is rejecting the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Only the Jews who were alive at that time could be guilty of it. So you are completely free to kill yourself. Don't do it. But I'm thinking by telling you you're free, it'll keep you from doing it. God's not putting this horrible pressure on you to perform for Him. But anyway, don't worry about it. That's all I got to say. How could you tell people who are thinking of killing themselves not to worry about it? Well, because Paul says in Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. I'm on solid scriptural ground right there. So we're not looking for great performances. Speaking of no great performances, I want to talk about my friend Demas. well, used to be Paul's friend, but this is really helpful for me to see that people who were friends, people who were faithful, people who were with you, people to whom you brought the gospel, walk away from you, turn away from you, shun you. It's a horrible feeling, but Paul experienced this, and the poster boy is Demas. Colossians 4:14, Paul says, he's finishing up the book of Colossians here, greeting you is Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas. Demas was with Paul and Luke. He was a fellow traveler. Now I'm going to go to Philemon, verse 24. There's no chapter because there's only one chapter. Philemon 24, starting with 23. Greeting you, Paul's finishing up to Philemon. Greeting you are Epaphras, my fellow captive in Christ Jesus, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. These are his fellow workers. Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, fellow workers. Now, what happens? Remember 2 Timothy? We're dealing with people who have jumped ship. We're dealing with all in Asia who had received Paul's message, turning away from him, shunning him, disfellowshipping from him because either they thought he was nuts or somebody else told him Paul was nuts. Or for the following reason. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy. We're back to Demas here. 2 Timothy 4:10. 4:9, endeavor to come to me quickly. This is Paul's last plea to Timothy. For Demas, loving the current aeon, forsook me and went to Thessalonica. Demas, loving the current aeon. And Paul is not saying that with a happy heart, or he's not commending Demas at all. He loved this current aeon. Demas left Paul because he was choked by the worries and the cares or the attractions of this current aeon. He left Paul. The point is, Demas did not necessarily have to do the Watusi while he was with Paul. Just staying with Paul was a miracle at the end of Paul's life. He says, Luke alone is with me. I could cry when I say that. 2 Timothy 4:11, Luke only is with me. The last man standing. He's with him. He's sitting with him. That's all he's doing. That's enough. That's under remaining. Stay the course. Do not fail now, because we are on the brink of the big change. And I don't want you to miss it, because I plan on being here.